Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for your care, not for calamity, to give you a future with hope. Jeremiah 29:11. Proverbs 1:7-9. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. Proverbs 1:7-9. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16. When your words came, I did eat them. They were my joy and my heart's delight. Jeremiah 15:16. And now you'll turn, please, to James chapter 1, verse 8. James chapter 1, verse 8. For a number of sessions now, we've looked at this verse, James 1:8. This will be the last session we'll have dealing with verse 1:8, though we'll read it probably many times. But next Sunday morning, we will be going to James chapter 1, verse 9. James chapter 1, verse 8 is on the screen before you. It is also on the back of your last Sunday's bulletin. So I'm sure you perhaps have the last Sunday's bulletin in hand, and if you do, that's fine. If you have any difficulty seeing this verse from where you're sitting tonight, then you can look at it on the back of your bulletin. This is a very simple verse. It is a verse without a verb in the original text. It is one that we've analyzed in the presentation of the fact that this verse presents a two-souled, split personality type individual. A person who is split-souled is a person who is unsettled. And tonight, the emphasis, of course, is upon the fact that dark, volitional decisions are made when a person finds himself in this type of a spiritual condition. Before we begin our study, may we bow for just a moment of prayer, please. We're thankful, Father, for the wonderful blessings of life. We're thankful that we are your children, saved by your matchless grace. We realize that life at the longest is so brief. And so while we're here, help us to focus our minds upon those things which are lasting, those things which are eternal. May we not be so worldly-minded that we forget that this is not our home, we're just passing through. And that one of these days, and it perhaps will be very soon, we will be absent from this body and we will be at home with our Lord. And we're thankful for that assurance. It's not based upon anything that we've done, not based upon our goodness, not based upon our works, not based upon any facet of life in the efforts of mankind. But totally it is a gift of God's grace to us through the person of Jesus Christ. And we know that salvation is by Jesus Christ alone, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. And so we are convinced again tonight that your word tells us exactly what we need. And so we pray that we will be able to see again this evening the importance of not having a split, divided soul. May our souls be well. May our souls be wholesome. May we be able to see life from a vertical viewpoint. And we'll be able to detect those things when they are satanic, when they are horizontal. May we be able to have enough truth in our souls that we'll be able to know what's right and what's wrong. And help us to utilize the truth in the decisions that we make each day, that our decisions will not be dark, volitional decisions. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. If you will turn to James, the first chapter, we begin our reading with verse 5. If you want to know what God wants you to do, ask Him. He will gladly tell you, for He is always ready to give a bountiful supply of wisdom to all who ask Him. He will not resent it. But when you ask Him, be sure that you really expect Him to tell you. For a doubtful mind will be as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. And every decision you then make will be uncertain as you turn first this way and then that. If you don't ask with faith, don't expect the Lord to give you any solid answer. On the screen now, I'm going to place the seven words that we've been studying. These words are found in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17, 18, and 19. As I place these words on the screen, if you already have them down, I trust that you do by now, then that's fine. But if you do not have these words down, I would like to encourage you to write them down somewhere. In verse 17, we have the first word, which is mataotes. In verse 18, we have the next three words, sotizo, skotizo, apolotrio, and porosis. Those are the three words in the 18th verse. And then in verse 19, you have the last three words that are on the screen, aselagia, akatharsia, and pleonexia. I'm aware of the fact that these are Greek words, but I want you to know that these words found in Ephesians chapter 4, 17, 18, and 19 describe the condition of the believer's soul due to either rejecting the Word of God or never obtaining studying the Word of God after having accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. If a person accepts Jesus Christ as Savior and does not grow, the Bible describes that person as a baby believer. And that's a tragic situation indeed. Over time, the lack of spiritual fuel in the soul will cause that individual to have what we call soul tragedy. And that's the reason why we're studying now these verses, Ephesians 4, 17, 18, and 19. I'm going to encourage you at this point to turn in your Bibles to those verses. We'll be looking at those verses tonight. From the original text, I have these verses laid out for me, and I trust that you will be able to see them from where you are sitting. The first one is Ephesians 4, 17. We've already looked at this verse, but I want you to see it now on the screen. Whatever translation you have there, and I trust that you perhaps have the King James or some other translation, but whatever translation you have, let's look at these words in Ephesians 4:17. The Apostle Paul is writing to the believers at Ephesus, and he says, "This therefore I say, and witness in the Lord, no more are you to walk also as the nations walk in the vanity of their mind." And from this Ephesians 4:17, there's only one word that we've selected to emphasize, and that is the word that is from this word right here, and it is the word mataotes, which you have on the list of words that you have been looking at in past days. Now, let me begin again to tell you the definition of the word mataotes. We've repeated this several times. I have 8 points here. You should have this in your notes, and so I'm not going to reiterate at a lengthy way, but I want you to see the definition of mataotes. The word means emptiness. It is a word which means purposelessness. It is a word which means futility. It is a word that could be described as vacuum. Now, we've emphasized the fact that the word describes a person who is not thinking God's thoughts. And as a result of not thinking God's thoughts, that person is like a vacuum cleaner that is sucking up and picking up the debris of the world. Point two, the soul was designed to function on divine fuel. There's no doubt in any of our minds tonight that God made us in such a way that we are designed to function on divine fuel. However, point three, when this fuel is rejected or neglected, then the spiritual tank of the individual is empty. And point four, when the tank is empty, the person seeks for something else, And since the old sin nature is the leader and the controller, then the horizontal viewpoint is taken in to fill the tank. Now, I want you to see what I'm saying there. All of us are possessors of the old sinful nature. And if we're not thinking divine thoughts, we're going to be thinking satanic human thoughts. So when the tank is empty, point four, the person seeks for something else. And since that person is under the control of the old sinful nature, then horizontal viewpoint is taken in to fill the tank. Point five, this is described as the emptiness of the mentality of the noose. And we've already talked about the fact that the noose, N-O-U-S, is the mind. The noose refers to the intelligence of the soul, the thinking of the soul, the perception of the soul, which is located in the cardia, K-A-R-D-I-A. This is a Greek word. The Greek word cardia means the controller of the soul and the base of intellect and character. Point six, when God's thinking is rejected, an emptiness or a vacuum is then created in the soul. When God's thinking is rejected, point six, an emptiness or a vacuum is created in the soul. And this, of course, is described in Romans chapter 1, as it says, they became empty in their thought patterns. And that's Romans chapter 1, verse 21. I've reminded you time and time again that in the first chapter of the book of Romans, we have so much related to what takes place in the person's mind that is an empty soul or empty mind individual. So Romans 1:21 says they became empty in their thought patterns. And that means they became empty in their reasoning abilities. Point eight in the last one, and you already have these notes, that which follows is described in the scriptures which we have on the screen, Ephesians 4, 17, 18, and 19. Now that means that we'll move to the next three words. You have those words, and they're found in Ephesians 4, 18. We're going to come back in a few moments and give you some information on each one of these words, but right now we're just giving you an exegetical study. Verse 18 says, having been darkened in their mind, having been alienated from the life of God through the ignorance being in them on account of the hardness or the blindness of the heart. So we have in verse 18 the three words that describe again what happens to a person who has a split soul. The first word in verse 18 is skotizo, S-K-O-T-I-Z-O. You should have these words down, and the first word here in verse 18 is skotizo. It is an emphasis upon volitional decisions. It's based on the darkness of the soul. Based on darkness, presented in verses 18 and 19, found also in Romans chapter 1. It says that having been darkened in their mind. Now, please notice the word mind here. If you'll notice, it is the Greek word dianoia. And I've been telling you that the word nous, N-O-U-S, is the word for mind, N-O-U-S. The word is noia, N-O-I-A, the way it's used here. We divide the word. It's a compound word. And when you have nous and then you have D-I-A before it, it simply means that that's a prefix or a preposition, which means a split mind. And so that's what this is an emphasis on, having been darkened in the mind. And the mind has become a split mind. And the dianoia is actually an emphasis upon the function of discernment or the viewpoint of the individual. And this particular person, now having a mind that's divided, is a double-minded person that is described in our passage of Scripture, James 1:8. If you look at the word skotizo, it is a perfect passive participle, nominative masculine plural. I don't think it's necessary for me to go through all this again. I will tell you, however, that when you have a verbal adjective or a verbal noun, in the Greek language you have not only a suffix that shows you that it is a verb to be conjugated, but you have an emphasis upon a noun or an adjective that is to be declined. You decline nouns and you conjugate verbs. And so what this has is it has a M-E-N on the end there, which shows us that it's a verb, and then it has the letters O-I, the very last letters, which is omicron iota, and that shows us that it is the nominative masculine plural. And I don't need to describe or decline a noun for you, only just to remind you that this one emphasizes that this is a nominative masculine plural of the individuals who have a darkened mind. And so we're going to talk about that skotizo now. It means a person whose soul has become dark. It's a soul rejecting God's thinking. Let's take a few notes then on this word. Point one, skotizo means that the person has now a soul rejecting God's word that has become a dark soul. The dark volitional decisions come from this dark soul. When a person has a dark soul, point two, there are many different evil, harmful replacements. The word that I would ask you to write there is the word replacement. If a person has a dark soul, then there are many different evil, harmful replacements. Number three, this soul darkness blocks vertical viewpoint. When a person has a dark soul, that dark soul blocks vertical viewpoint. It also produces what we've called calluses or scars. The soul's darkness blocks vertical viewpoint, produces calluses or scars. Now, please let me reiterate those first three points. This word skotizo is the word which means the function of discernment. In this case, the person's soul is dark, and the soul's darkness has come because the soul is continually rejecting the thinking of God. When that happens, point two, there are many different evil, harmful replacements that come into that person's life. Number three, this soul darkness then blocks vertical viewpoint. Also, there is the production of hard calluses, or what we call scars of the soul. Number four, this is darkness intrusion. I like to say it that way. This is darkness intrusion. And it continues to block soul function. What I'm talking about tonight is really very, very powerful. In other words, the word skotizo reveals and describes something that's already taken place in the past. It's a completed result of a process that began with the hardness of the heart or negative choice toward God's truth. That's the reason why it's important for me to point out again that this verb is a perfect tense verb. This darkness has started in the past. It's continued over a period of time. And the perfect tense reveals and describes a completed result of a process that began with some hardness of the heart, negative choice toward God and toward God's word. And the passive voice is saying here that the subject, the believer, has and now is receiving the results of this action. And that means that the dark concepts are now acting on the soul. In other words, if a person has God's truth acting on the soul, then the person is the recipient of the truth acting on the soul. If a person travels in darkness, then the darkness is reacting and happening on the soul. And there's the passive voice. the passive voice says that the subject is receiving the results of that darkness. If truth is in the soul, then the person, the subject, is receiving the results of the truth that happens in the soul. Now, that's not too difficult to understand. If you'll notice, though, it is a perfect passive participle. And the participle, of course, emphasizes the fact that this is what is taking place. This is what is known as an adjectival participle in function that describes the state of the soul while the process is going on. Now, you didn't want that much, did you? I did want you to have it, though. It's very, very important that you see that this particular word, skotizo, is the word which says something is taking place in a person's soul as a result of the darkness that has been allowed to continually to come in. Point 7. We have here the word dianoia. I've already talked about that. It is the heart. This word refers to the content of the heart. The dianoia of Ephesians 4:18, which we have on the screen right now, is the word which means insight, discernment, the place where knowledge is stored. There is, and I put this down for you to hear last week, there is a direct wiring right here to the volition for making decisions. Please understand what I'm trying to get over. When a person, because of the fact that the word dianoia is the emphasis upon insight, it's an emphasis upon understanding, it's an emphasis upon that which the cardia is accepting, there's a direct wiring then here to the volition to making decisions. When darkness prevails, decisions will be improper. When truth prevails, decisions will be proper. That's what this is saying. The heart receives information through the cardia, accepts it, and it becomes understanding if that person is perceptive to truth. However, when the mind is a vacuum, rejecting the truth, it is sucking in all this darkness. This darkness affects the viewpoint. Then this dark viewpoint moves to the conscience, where the standards are formed. Then the scripture reveals to us that the awareness and the perception and the volition, all of these things are distorted. Okay? I tried to give you 10 points on the word skotizo. Let me see if I can go back and reiterate for a few moments. Because I left off my giving of points and began to preach to you. So point 6. The participle here is an adjectival in function, describing the state of the soul while the process is going on. Now some of you may say, well, I don't have number 5. Number 5 is an emphasis upon the fact that this particular verb is a passive voice. Perfect passive participle. I need to be sure that you understand that the perfect tense reveals and describes a completed result of a process that began when the hardness of the heart got started. Negative choice got started. The negative choice toward God, the negative choice toward truth. The passive voice says that this particular believer at that time began to receive the results of that action. And the participle just presents the circumstances. And it being point 6, an adjective or adjectival type participle means that this describes the state of the soul while the process is going on. Number 7. We have the article here along with the word dianoia. I talked about it but didn't tell you it was point 7. We have the word te, let's look at it, which is the article the, and then the word dia, which means through, cut, it's preposition prefix, and then noia, which is the word for mind. It's a mind that's cut through. A mind that's cut through is a double mind. It is described in James 1:8 as a person who is a split-souled, a disukos or dipsukos person. Now, we've studied that verse over and over and over again. We should have that. Point 8. When I look at this word dianoia, it refers to the content of the heart, the viewpoint. The dianoia of Ephesians 4:18, which we have on the screen, is the word for insight, discernment, the place where knowledge is stored. And I've said, and I repeat again, there's a direct wiring here to the volition for making decisions. What I'm trying to tell you is that when darkness prevails, the decisions will be wrong. When truth prevails, the decisions will be right. We're trying to emphasize tonight the emphasis on dark, volitional decisions. That's what all these words describe. Point 9. The heart receives information through what is known in the Bible as the cardia. The cardia is the spiritual mentality of the soul. The cardia means the mentality of the soul. The heart receives information. The heart accepts information. When the heart receives the information, it becomes viewpoint. When that viewpoint is used, it brings about proper decisions. Point 10. However, on the negative side, when the mind rejects truth, it sucks in darkness. This affects the viewpoint. Then this dark viewpoint moves to the conscience. The conscience is where the standards are formed. And when darkness is there, then awareness, perception, volition, all are distorted. I know I've spent a lot of time on this first word in verse 18, which is skotizo. Now, we're going to underline it once again, and then we're going to move to the next word. It says, having been darkened in their mind, having been alienated. The Greek word there is apollotrio. Apollotrio. The way I write it out for my ability to pronounce it is A-P-A-L-O-T-R-I-O-O. Now that was just what I did for myself. Because some Greek words are harder for me to pronounce than others. And so I pronounce this A-P-A-L-O-T-R-I-O-O. That's easy. Because I spelled it out A-P-A-L-O-T-R-I-O-O. Now, I said this twice. If you got it down, fine. Now, what does the word apollotrio mean? If you'll notice, it is also a perfect passive participle. Having been alienated from the life of God, it says. It means to be separated from something. God's plan includes salvation, and God's plan includes us having a victorious, triumphant, abundant, fruitful, spiritual life. There are many benefits that God provides for us if we will adjust to His plan. What this is saying is that people are alienated because they have chosen to go the wrong direction. Having been alienated. Perfect tense simply means it happened in the past. The results continue. Passive voice says this subject receives alienation. The perfect tense emphasizes completed results from ignorance. It's completed results from lack of divine viewpoint. The passive voice says alienation is received when volition rejects God's plan. I could not spend the time any better tonight than to tell you that The passive voice says alienation is received when volition rejects divine plan. When the divine plan is rejected, then there's no knowledge. When there's no knowledge, there's no ability to be fruitful and victorious and triumphant. This is what is known not as an adjectival participle, but an adverbial participle. What does an adverbial participle do? An adverbial participle describes the steps prior to the empty mind. Okay? We have to see some steps that took place before the empty mind. What are the steps before the empty mind? I have seven of them. One, hardness of heart. Hardness of heart. I'm going to let you write it down. Please do it. These are the steps. Since this is an adverbial participle, the adverbial participle describes the steps prior to the empty mind. What is it that causes a person to have a dark soul? What is it that causes a person to be empty-minded, double-minded, split-souled? Hardness of heart. What does that mean? It means to be negative to God and truth. All right, point two. What does this participle mean? Rejection that results from ignorance. Rejection of truth resulting from ignorance. I don't want to be unkind to any of us, even myself tonight, but I'm telling you that the Scripture says when the Apostle Paul was writing to the Corinthian believers, I would like for you to eat spiritual steaks. I'd like for you to have something that really that's advanced. But you're babies. You're napios. You're nursing bottle babies. How tragic, how sad. Why were these Corinthians that way? They had rejected truth, which resulted in their continued ignorance, which was the steps before the empty mind. Number three, the ignorance causes alienation from the life of God. Ignorance causes alienation from the life of God. Point four, ignorance and alienation produce a larger vacuum tank. Now, I want you to get a concept of a vacuum cleaner that's not just a tiny vacuum cleaner, but a large one. This, of course, is a picture of ignorance and alienation in the believer's life produces an enlarged vacuum tank. Number five, this large vacuum tank sucks in more debris. I can say it like this. It sucks in more darkness. Number six, when this darkness is in there, that darkness causes calluses and scars and blindness. And the blindness, point seven, leads to many evil practices. Now that's this word, apolotrio. All right? We go to the next word. It says, through the ignorance being in them, on account of the hardness or blindness of their heart. And the Greek word is P-O-R-O-S-I-N here, but it's the word porosis, P-O-R-O-S-I-S. Okay, just 2 points on this word, porosis. The word porosis means stubborn. It means persisting in stubbornness. It means continual rejection, rejecting. It means continual negative choice. Hardness, porosis, define means stubbornness. persistent stubbornness, continual rejecting truth. The second point here is, once the volition rejects truth, the heart begins to get harder. The darkening process continues. And then, if there's not an abrupt halt to that process, more darkness will enter into the soul that is already scarred and calloused. And it will result in what we find in our next verse, Ephesians 4:19. So, if you're looking at the words, I want you now to look at verse 19. I'm going to put it on the screen. I'm sure that you're able to see that there's so much, much here that we're just hitting lightly. What does this verse 19 say? It says, who past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now, I've only picked out three words here. We could talk about all the other facets here. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over. We could talk about all of that. But the three words are aselagia, akatharsia, and pleonexia. You have those before you. Let's look at those words briefly. Aselagia is the first one in verse 19. What does that word mean? It means total occupation with physical senses as controlled by the sinful nature. Total occupation with physical senses as controlled by the sinful nature. This is what is described in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 8, verse 15, where it says, this is the eat, drink, and be merry philosophy. It's the philosophy of sensuality. We don't need to get into this because all of you are aware of the fact that we're living in that kind of a world. Ecclesiastes 8:15, eat, drink, and be merry, philosophy. The philosophy of sensuality. Point two of aselagia, it means it is a person who is undisciplined. It is a person who has become emotionally abandoned to meeting the needs of the physical senses. What a terrible situation. It is an undisciplined individual. It's an emotional abandonment to meeting the needs of the physical senses. Point three. It is described in 1 John 2:16. Because in that verse it says, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. I want to break that verse down for you for just a few moments. 1 John 2:16. Lust of the flesh there is an emphasis upon feeling. Lust of the eyes is an emphasis upon wanting. W-A-N-T-I-N-G. And the desires of life is the arrogance of life, the desires of self-centeredness. That's all found in 1 John 2:16. We could spend an hour or two just on that verse, 1 John 2:16. Aselagia, then, is the Greek word which means total occupation with physical senses as controlled by the old sinful nature. This is the person under the control of the sinful nature. Aselagia. The next word is akatharsia. The word is defined as no cleansing. Every moral deviation. The Greek word is, you can see it, it comes from the word catharsis, With the alpha privative on it, it means no catharsis, which means no cleansing. It means overt manifestations. It is the word which means sensuality. If it describes a man, it means a man who's occupied with himself in his own personal self-satisfaction. If it is described by a woman, it will be described as a woman who is a profligate. If you don't know what the word profligate means, it is a word which describes a woman of the Old Testament who is a prostitute. A profligate is a prostitute. Impure motives. Impure of lustful, unclean activity. It's an emphasis upon the overt that comes as a result of the promenading of the mentality of the soul that has gone in the wrong direction. Word six, then, akathosia, is the word which is defined no cleansing. Every moral deviation. Overt manifestations, lasciviousness, sensuality. I've got to hasten. Point two under this word is all. It's used to indicate every possibility of uncleanness. The last word is pleonexia. Let's define the word, pleonexia. It's a word in the locative case here. Locative case means the case of location. It's greediness in the sphere of self-seeking, self-satisfaction, self-centeredness. It's total emotional concern for self-pleasure. It's like we find in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 17. It's described by the word covet, where it says that a man is not to covet his neighbor's wife. So it's total emotional concern for self-pleasure, whatever it takes. In Romans 1:24, it's lust of the heart. In 1 John 2:16, it's lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. I sat down with someone the other day and discussed what I'm going to discuss with you for these last moments. You and I must have an understanding of our old sinful nature. This nature is within all people. It is that which produces disobedience. The old sin nature is the home for the imputation of Adam's original sin. This nature is inherited from Adam. We do not sin personally to get that old sin nature. We sin because we have it. We have to consider Adam's soul. What I want to do for a few moments now is to consider Adam's soul before the fall and after the fall. Adam before the fall, what did he have in his soul? Awareness, mentality, emotion, choice, conscience. That's what he had in his soul before the fall. And that's what he had in his soul after the fall. Awareness, mentality, emotion, choice, and conscience. What do you have in your soul? Awareness, mentality, emotion, choice, and conscience. Now, I've said this enough times for you to have it down. You ought to remember it. Now, what did Adam have in his soul before the fall? In the awareness, he had a relationship with God. In the mentality, he had a right attitude. In his emotion, he had a deep appreciation for God. In his choice, he chose at that point to go God's way. And in his conscience, before the fall, he had divine standards. Now, let's take that away. What did Adam have after the fall? In his awareness, after the fall, he was hooked up with Satan. Satanic thinking, evil. What did he have in the mentality? He now had discord. He had a perplexed soul. What did he have in his emotion? He was warped now. Distorted emotion. What did he have in the choice? Wrong decisions. What did he have in the conscience? Improper attitudes. Improper choices. Why am I dealing with words like this? If you'll go back to James 1:8, you'll see that James is saying that man, it seems that he's distancing himself from this particular emphasis. I know that it says amen, but some theologians say that James is saying, let's distance ourselves from this. Let you see this. Here's a person who's made a bad decision. As a result of making a bad decision, he is a split-souled, double-minded individual. Hostility of soul. Decisions that are made that are improper. What I'm saying to you tonight is, all of these verses in Ephesians 4, 17, 18, and 19 tell us that we should not become involved with all of these facets related to the tragedy of the soul. I put it down again. Matotes, emptiness of the mind. Skotizo, darkness of intellect. Apolotrio, alienation from God. Porosis, hardness of heart. Aselagia, promiscuous debauchery. Akathosia, no cleansing, no fellowship. Pleonexia, an insatiable desire for something to satisfy, but searching for it in the wrong places. How tragic, how sad. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Tonight, Father, we're thankful for the challenge of your wonderful word. We realize that these are unpleasant thoughts. At the same time, we know that this presents to us a great challenge not to have soul tragedy, not to have the darkness of our decisions in life, not to have a split soul, a split mind, a mind that is captivated by satanic viewpoint. Help us to be able to think God's thoughts. Help us to see from God's vantage point. Help us to know that God has a beautiful, magnificent plan for us. And we're to choose to go that way and not to go the way that is the improper way, that is so often our way if we're not careful. The way that is horizontal, the way that is satanic viewpoint. Help us to be challenged by these verses of Scripture. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.